recorded live.
JRDOnline.com and Roni's Own Productions proudly present Roni's Own Radio Live with you on TalkShoe. Roni's Own Radio, a very different show where we talk about everything from God to Star Wars and everything in between. So now let's get connected. We welcome you to tonight's show, and we hope that you'll bring your comments, your questions, and we'll all have fun together here on Roni's Own Radio Live.
Welcome, everybody, to Roni's Own Radio. You are tuned to a very special episode tonight. We're going to be spotlighting a group of very talented filmmakers, actors, writers, models, voice actors, you name it. This group does it all. And they do it all outside of Hollywood. So they have so many great stories, so many great things to talk about tonight. And I have extreme pleasure to hopefully expose them to a whole new group of folks that can really appreciate what they do. So tonight we're going to get started with just a little housekeeping. This is a Roni's Own production. You can find all of our fine productions at ronizone.com. That's ronizone.com. We have a couple of great shows coming up next week. We will be discussing the furor that has happened about a video I did on YouTube with the Star Wars female fan dressed up in a Slave Leia costume. And the question about, does a female Star Wars fan wearing a Slave Leia costume, does it take women's lib back 200 years, or is it expression of art? We also have a number of shows in production about how to deal with high gas prices. We also have another show about the Star Wars audio parodies we do. We're going to do a retrospective August 19th. So there's a lot of great shows that are coming, and so keep it on ronizone.com, and we will keep you up to date on what's happening. If you have any type of email, feedback that you'd like to give us, you can email ronizone@gmail.com, or you can email jeff.roni@gmail.com. And one more thing I'm going to ask, and we're going to jump right in. If you could please leave a little review, feedback on the page talk.ronizone.com, that would be fantastic. All right. How is your headset there, sir, Mr. Your Buddy Bill? It's not like you're dragging it outside on the sidewalk there.
Sorry about that. I had to put that puppy to bed.
All right. Okay, so let's kind of set the stage, and then we'll introduce a couple of folks. And first of all, I just want to say thank you for everyone who is on the line, in the room, connected to the site. There's probably a lot of other folks listening that aren't connected to the room. I just want to say thank you for being here. We're going to have an exciting show tonight. Now, to kind of start here is I went to college many years ago when I had more hair, and I did have a mullet. I had less gray hair back in those days, and I wanted to be a film director. Mr. George Lucas was an idol of mine, and no, I'm not bald now, but I have more salt than pepper in my hair. So anyway, I wear hats so I don't get sunburned. But anyway, so I went to college, and I graduated. And the end result was, if you can get to Hollywood, you can make it big. If you can get to Hollywood, if you can star and be an intern, then you can be, the great director that you've always wanted to be. And so that was really instilled in us. And as time progressed, life got in the way, and different things happened, and all this kind of stuff. And so you started to focus on, the 9-to-5. You started to focus on paying the mortgage. You started to focus on other things, and you kind of forgot the dream. And so then many years later, I had a good friend, and his wife, one of the members of your group, Zoe, and she's just fantastic. And I read her stuff and just, howl laughing. It's just fantastic. And then she told me that she was a part of this group, the Southeast Film Association group. And I said, well, what's this about? And she goes, well, you know, you need to have them on the show. So I started looking at the website, and I was thoroughly blown away. The music I heard, the films I heard, I took a look at, all the different aspects and different projects that you guys are working on. I was thoroughly blown away. And first of all, I want to talk to Chuck Falah, and he is the founder of the Southeast Film Association. And so I want to welcome you, Chuck, to the show tonight. How are you doing, sir?
I'm doing good. Thank you. Thank you for having us on.
No problem. Where I want to start is, what did you want to be when you were younger? Did you have a dream to be in entertainment? What was one of your goals when you were growing up?
Well, it's actually funny. I know it's going to sound kind of cliche, but I watched a film when I was real young called Ferris Bueller's Day Off. And ever since I saw that film, I wanted to be Ferris Bueller. I mean, bottom line, when I grew up, I wanted to be Ferris Bueller. And when you get older and you realize that's a little bit of a fantasy, you have to admit, well, what can I do to be similar? And I said, well, maybe I can write some characters like Ferris Bueller. And I got into writing, and shortly thereafter, I pretty much wanted to make films. I didn't care how I made them. I didn't care if I was an actor or best boy, a grip, or if I was producing, directing, or if I just brought somebody their coffee. I wanted to be involved with filmmaking. And thankfully, I'm one of the lucky few who's actually getting to do what they wanted to do.
What are one of your goals? If you have like top five goals, what are one of those goals in your life?
Well, first and foremost, I want to make sure that, you know, my family's happy. I know that we're talking about the filmmaking thing right now, but the most important to me in this world is taking care of my wife and my children, and they're very supportive of me, so I want to be very supportive of them and make sure that, you know, they're taken care of. But in regards to filmmaking, I just want to make movies that I'm proud of. I don't necessarily need to be famous. I don't necessarily need to be rich or have everyone know who I am, but I want to put something up there that people are going to look at and say, you know, that was a good film. You know, I just want to be able to do things that I can kind of put my tag on. And that's one of the reasons why I've kind of shirked the whole traditional Hollywood thing, because a lot of times after you make your films and you give them to Hollywood, they become something differently, and it's really not what you created to begin with. So I would probably say my number one goal after taking care of my family is to just to make sure I do things that I'm proud of. The other thing that I really want to do, so I want to change the way people think about making films. I don't agree that you have to move out to Hollywood to make it in this industry. I don't agree that you have to have a massive budget in order to do what you want to do as far as filmmaking goes. So I'd probably say, you know, those are probably my top three goals in as far as filmmaking and in life go.
I just want to say one thing really quick is you mentioned your family. Obviously, family and relationships are critical to just life in general. And in my life, my wife, who supports my dream, really kind of makes me complete. And you know, there is a struggle sometimes about doing something for the heart that maybe doesn't have as much money being made as maybe a 9-to-5. But there's kind of that trade-off, and it sounds like you've kind of put everything in its proper perspective.
Well, Jeff, you and I actually have something in common, and that is a very supportive wife. I mean, my wife is absolutely my wall. You know, this industry is not easy, and I have to spend a lot of time, you know, outside, you know, working on things on the computer or writing or actually – you know, leaving town to go make films, and my wife, she doesn't cry, she doesn't complain, she supports me 100%. So, and I'll say this, you know, for a fact, even though this is my passion, this is what I want to do, if I didn't have that support from her, I probably wouldn't be anywhere near as good, or if I am good, but I wouldn't be anywhere near the man that I am if it wasn't for her. So I'll just say that up front. I mean, I absolutely believe that my wife, you know, believing in me and giving me that support is really what has inspired me to keep driving forward whenever everybody else is telling me it can't be done. So.
Very well said, Chuck. We're not going to leave you, but we're going to move on for just a little bit. We're going to talk to Bryn. Hi, Bryn. How are you?
Hi. How's it going?
It's going well. Now, I understand that you've just made a huge life change in your life. You just got married?
That's right, back in August.
Okay, back in August. It's still within the realm of being a newlywed.
Yes. Still in the first year, so it's fun.
Now, you mentioned in your bio that there is your husband really kind of helps you to write in a certain way. And how has your relationship kind of affected your creation of your work and that kind of thing?
Well, I actually create more now. I was on a writing kick for a long time, and then Hawk came along and had actually been involved with a series of guys who kind of were down on me and saying, you get over this writing thing, it's not going to happen, it's not going to happen, you don't live in Hollywood. And I hate that mentality. I wanted to get away from that. I was going through a phase of purging negative people out of my life, and then here comes Hawk. And he and I got together, and I think it was the first week we were together, we shot a film. And I couldn't believe it. And he was not even an actor before then. I mean, he had done some stuff in high school. But he was so supportive of what I did that a week after meeting him, I jumped right back into it. I was producing again. I was writing again. I was shooting my own stuff. And it has not stopped. I'm talking, there has not been a weekend. We have not been writing together, shooting together, acting together, producing together. In fact, right now, he and I are co-producing through MovieTow Pro, The Paradox, which is a paranormal documentary, on top of everything else that's going on, just because he's so supportive.
Mm-hmm. So, it's that topic of meshing together and finding how things all fit together as far as your dream, your talent, working from your heart instead of, you know, for lack of a better term, working from your mind, which means you have to work in a corporate world, work in a cubicle, work behind a desk in a computer for 8 hours a day. That's kind of the norm of that is a success. But it sounds like you really kind of tapped into something in a different direction.
Yeah, exactly. First of all, I cannot handle corporate America. I can't wake up at 6 o'clock in the morning, put on a pair of pantyhose, go to work, and put on my smiley face for 8 hours. I tried it. I was there. I hated it. It was the most depressed I had been in my entire life. And so to get away from that, I took a part-time job, which, again, thanks to my husband, I was able to do. He is pretty much supporting the entire household right now, except for the 20 hours I pulled down from a law office. But now I'm working with friends, and it's really driven my creative side. My friends who are two attorneys, they let me do whatever I want to do. I can shoot movies at their office. They ask to be in the movies. It's just awesome. And if I were working at a big corporation, I don't want to name anybody, that would be frowned upon. It's like, why are you using your time to do something wasteful like this? You should be crunching numbers. You should be working overtime. You should be going on corporate trips. You know, not filming in Costa Rica or wherever, and I just couldn't live with that kind of oppression on me. So I don't calculate success by becoming an executive and pulling in $500,000 a year. Who cares how many cars you have if you're not happy? You have to be happy. That's success.
Okay. What I'm going to do is I'm going to pull Chuck in now, and let's kind of go to that moment when – whether or not it was maybe a decision together, I mean, I don't know when it happened, but Chuck, when did you say, you know, there has to be a group of really talented filmmakers here in the Southeast. There has to be, I love your video on your MySpace page that rejection is not fatal. And that's really the bottom line, this whole thing is rejection is not fatal. And when did you decide to kind of strike out on your own and do it?
Well, the Southeast Film Club originally got its start during the time when Brenda and I were working on our first screenplay together, which is Local Charity. As unknown screenwriters, we were exhausting our every nerve trying to find the means to make the movie. And as you know, it's difficult to break in this industry. There's just so many challenges. There were doors being shut in our faces because we were unknown and because we were from the Southeast and we did not live in Hollywood. I actually remember very clearly a head of acquisitions for a very well-known studio saying to me, and remember, these are his words, they're not mine, and I'll probably rephrase a couple of parts, but he basically said, why would I waste my time working with someone who does not have the courage or, this is my rephrasing part, the testicular fortitude to move out here and give it a real shot?
Wow.
And of course, I didn't take that well, because it does take courage to be a filmmaker. I mean, and it takes even more courage to do it somewhere other than Hollywood. And plus, I'm a little bit of one of those guys where when you say, hey, you can't do this, I'm going to do it to prove you wrong. So I
yeah, don't tell Chuck no. Don't tell Chuck no, because he will turn it into a yes, and he'll destroy the world to do it.
So Ben and I were trying to come up with a way to pull the resources here in the Southeast. We looked around at other websites, and we realized that no one was really doing what we wanted to do, which was provide a free service, and that's a key word, by the way, free, mm-hmm. for filmmakers from the Southeast to network and make movies. We don't want to charge because we understand how limited funds are when you're making a no-budget film, and that's why CIFA is now and always will be a donation-only website. I mean, people can help by donating, or they can. It's up to you, but we started it. I think, Brent, correct me if I'm wrong, we originally started about 4 years ago. We didn't have the time because we were so focused on trying to get local charity to promote it correctly. I mean, that's my bad. I should have promoted it better than I did. But about 6-7 months ago, I really just got tired of everyone basically telling us to move to Hollywood. And I was talking to some other screenwriters, and they were saying they were hearing the same thing. So I said, you know what? I'm going to promote this. And in the last, I think it's been about 6 months, we've jumped from about 100 members to today we have 800 members.
Wow.
Yeah. So, and the funny thing is they're from all over the world. I mean, we had to annex the entire planet because you've got people from India and Guatemala and Africa and Australia and Czechoslovakia and, yes, California and New York. We told them to come on. We're not going to exclude you like you excluded us. So we're we're just but that's really where CIFA came from.
Okay, now the website is what is the website again?
It's www.se as in Southeast filmclub.com.
Okay. SEfilmclub.com. That's where
Correct.
You need to go to you guys have links to all your MySpace, Facebook, you've got it all. You highlight local talent and the talent that are really kind of linking up with you. You guys really are doing just incredible work.
Thank you.
When did you kind of was there a first marker that maybe you and Bryn maybe kind of said, you know, we really want to do this? And then when you kind of cross that first marker, did you kind of look at each other and go, you know, this could actually work? Was there a point when you kind of realized that maybe there was more to this?
Mm-hmm. Well, I don't want to monopolize, but I'll say what really has been kind of an eye-opener for me. well, first of all, every time the membership grew by like 20 or 30 people a day, I was like, wow, I mean, where are these people coming from? I mean, how are they hearing about us? And we found out that other filmmakers were telling other filmmakers about our website. And to me, that just kind of felt like there's something here. Other people are really buying into what we have to say and what we're trying to do. The ironic thing of it, this is the other piece that really made me feel like, and I'm going to shut up in a minute and let Bryn talk, but the other thing that really kind of shocked me was, and please bear with me because I'm going to make an analogy here, and it's a poor one. But you remember back in high school when the pretty girl, you wanted to go out with her, but she didn't want to go out with you because you were interested in her, and then you basically, you know, you stopped being interested, and all of a sudden she wants to go out with you now?
Right.
We've been getting phone calls from Hollywood and media to do interviews with us. They want to talk about what we're doing. It's almost like we turned our backs on them, and now they just can't stand that. So they're trying to bring us back in. And that, honestly, is really what made me kind of just wake up and realize we're doing something special here. I mean, if they're taking that much notice to call us and say, hey, listen, you know, what's going on with your screenplays? You know, it just made me realize that this is really branching out. And what I'm hoping is that's going to translate to other filmmakers. I actually had one filmmaker who called me, and because our phone number is available on the website, you can call us anytime. But I had one call me and say, listen, my cast, my crew, they all dropped out on me. I don't know what to do. Can you help me? So I sent out a blast email. I called a few folks that I knew from the site, and that person had a production date of this weekend, this coming weekend, and they were just going to have to not film. But I checked with her just today, and she said that she's got a whole cast and crew now, and 90% of them came from CIFA. So that's the kind of thing that makes me realize we're doing what we wanted to do. Bren, your turn. I'm a hush.
What was interesting to me is I cast a film here a few years ago before CIFA was invented or was around, and I had a good number, probably over 100 people from Atlanta show up to the casting, and I was blown away. I had only posted it on one place because back then there was only one place to go to, so for Atlanta anyway. This time we just cast the Atlanta team for Six Degrees of Desperation. And we had, we were mobbed the first day. There were a lot of people there. And then the second day was a little bit slower. But then we only had 2 days of casting, and I'm still getting resumes and headshots in my email. And Chuck's emailing me saying, where are all these people coming from? I'm getting like 4 or 5 responses a day still, and casting is over. Well, we start emailing these people back and saying, where did you see this post? Did you see that we cast this last weekend? And for every single email I sent out, a different website was reported to me that had copied our post and stuck it up on their site. And that has not happened to me before. We were on Craigslist, Atlanta Films, the CIFA boards, Mandy, ActorSphere, and 7 or 8 other sites that I had never heard of. And I'm getting responses from these people to this day. Just before I logged in today for this talk show, I emailed someone and I said, I'm sorry you missed the bus. We'd love for you to be an extra. Where did you see our post? Because somebody is linking us all over the world and obviously not showing when we were casting. And so just the fact that CIFA started a project and we are being linked all over the place, that tells me that people are paying attention to us, that they're looking to see what we're doing and how they can become involved.
You know what's funny about that, Bren, is I actually got one. I've gotten several from it, but I actually sent them an email today to ask them to take it down. But we're getting headshots and resumes from a website called castnow.uk.
UK?
And they're in the United Kingdom, and they're sending me headshots. And I'm telling them, you know, I can't fly you over here. What am I supposed to do? All right, that's all I wanted to say.
That's incredible, the way that word like that spreads, and I think I think what Chuck brought up is very important, is that it's a free service that you guys really just want to use your talent and make good films, you know, and that's really at the core of it. And I think that type of a feeling and that type of a vibe really kind of gets out, is that, you know, we don't have a whole lot of ego. We're just here to make a good film, to be a good actor, you know, to be good at whatever we do. You know, we get the job done. I mean, incredible. It's incredible that you, Chuck, would come to the aid of somebody else and just, you know, call in your troops, you know, quote unquote, to really kind of help out over there. And I think that really speaks volumes.
Jeff, if you don't mind me saying one more thing about all that, I have this belief that anything that you do in your life has to be about more than money. It just has to be. It has to be about the passion for doing what you want to do. Because to be quite frank, as I said before, there's easier ways to make money. I mean, there really are. Filmmaking's not easy to do. A lot of people get caught up in the glamour and glitz of it. But if you're not passionate about this industry, what happens when you reach the fame? There's nothing left for you to do. You have to have some kind of passion about it. So that's just another reason why we don't want to charge people, because to us, although it's nice to have money and it makes things easier at times, we don't need it. We're going to make movies anyways because it's what we're passionate about doing.
Right. Let's take a step back and let's kind of take a wider view of what CIFA is. So, Brandon, Chuck, I don't care. You can kind of tag team, do whatever you like here. Let's kind of talk about all the different pieces of what CIFA is and what you guys do within your group.
Okay. Brandon, you want to go first or you want me to take it?
What CIFA does? Well, our mission is to create opportunity and exposure for future filmmakers. And by filmmakers, we don't mean just, you know, the guy behind the camera, the guy with the checkbook writing checks left and right for equipment and locations and insurance and things like that. We mean the actor, the model, the screenwriter, the script supervisor, anything that they want to do on a film. We're here to create opportunity and exposure, which is why we started Film 6 Degrees, was to get people involved. And we sent out a feeler, and we got a tremendous response of all these film teams that wanted to shoot a movie and just didn't have a project to work on. That's ridiculous. You've got millions of people down here in the Southeast. How can you not have a project to work on? So one of the main goals is just exposure and opportunity, and that's what I really, really focus on, is doing these broad projects that everyone can be involved in. Very little exclusion, and we squeeze talent out of all the corners of the Southeast that we've done.
I just want to just tack on a little thing to the exposure piece. One of the things that's gotten the most feedback as far as the website itself goes is the featured member section. Mm-hmm. And basically, that's something that we do free. Again, most people charge for it. But we say, send us this information. We will post you on the main page. And not only that, we'll give you a permanent link under the featured member piece so that if you want to add it to your resume as featured on the Southeast Film Association website or whatever you want to do, it's there forever. We're getting thousands of hits a day, and it's growing every single day. So the people who are on, you know, that main page or who can click on the featured member piece, and if you look down that list, we've got, actors, models, but we also have studios and producers and writers and voiceover artists and bands. We have bands who want to, you know, give their music to films or whatever. We've got a section for crew, for gappers, grips, and best boys or whatever. We put that on there, and you're there forever. Unless you ask me to take it down, I'm not taking it down. So it's something that we provide to every single one of our members as a free thing. A lot of people have taken advantage of it. I've had people tell me that people have told them flat out, yeah, I saw your portfolio over on CIFA, and, you know, that's why they got the email. And that's one of the main things that I really like about one of the things that we've instated was the featured member piece, because I just think it gives people so much exposure, and, you know, we're happy to do it.
Yep. Let's see. Let's give Holly a chance. Holly, did you have a comment or question?
This is Holly, and I was just wanting to add kind of to what Chuck and Brennan said about CIFA, too, that I think it's awesome that you get the casting, the modeling, the production, the directing. It's all here. Usually on the web, on different websites, the acting, it'll just be an acting website and casting notices only. And and to have all of them all together, I just think is just like incredible, because it's bringing it all into focus and importance and things of that sort. I know that's not a word, but you know.
It is now. It is now.
I just created a new word.
Wikipedia, type it in.
Is that it, Holly?
Yeah. So, and the fact that y'all that CIFA is so supportive of independent films, student films, you know, it allows them to get some exposure out there. Most people are like feature films only, and that's all they want to see. And for CIFA to even give recognition, I think that's just it's just wonderful.
Well, thank you.
Definitely.
Thank you, Holly. All right, now, so we've kind of talked about what the group is. I have a list of some folks that should be joining. I kind of want to just get them in on it. And I got to be honest with you. I'm a bit overwhelmed. So if I don't know a voice, I'm going to kind of put, let's see, Ben. Ben was on the list. Hey, Ben, how are you?
Hello.
And you're a member of CIFA?
Yes, I am.
Excellent. Now, tell us a little bit about what you do, what kind of drew you to CIFA, and tell us a little bit of your story. And
okay. Well, my name is Ben Rose, and I'm in Tampa, Florida. Actually, I directed a short film recently for a project called the 48-Hour Film Project. I don't know if any of you are aware of what that is. It means like you had to shoot and write a film in a matter of 48 hours.
Wow.
And I directed it with 65 little kids. You know, we did a film called Versus, and it was like this underground film about paper, rocks, and scissors. And so we got in second place, and it was very exciting. So, but one of the moms approached me, and she's like this very resourceful person, and she told me about this Southeast project, and I'm like, wow, that's amazing. So I sent out an email, and fortunately, Chuck emailed me back and said that he was interested, and here I am. So I'm very excited to be a part of it.
Now,
Ben's also one of the directors for Six Degrees, by the way, and he's written a fantastic script. I can't wait to see what he does with it.
Oh, thank you. Thank you.
Now, just really quick, Six Degrees is a number of different genres within one movie. Is that correct?
Yes.
Yeah. Go ahead, Ben. I'm sorry.
No. Please, you.
Six Degrees is a project that Ben and I came up with specifically to show all the different talent levels that we have on the site. It's one screenplay segmented into six pieces, and we have 12 different teams shooting different genres for each one of the scenes. And then what we're going to do is we're going to edit it all together into one film.
Mm.
So it's actually that has gotten some amazing feedback. I really wasn't expecting it to pull. We actually have teams in queue for the next time we do it, so we have to do it again. Hopefully we'll like doing it.
I'm really proud of the fact that it's an international project because we've got a team in Puerto Rico shooting for us.
Oh, wow.
Thank you very much.
Do you guys kind of realize what you've done? Do you ever kind of sit back and, whether it's a mimosa or some water, and sit back and really think about what you've done here? I mean,
I'm actually just waiting for it to be over before I even try to comprehend it. If I start thinking about it now, I'm self-diagnosed ADD and OCD, which means my mind goes all over the place, and then I obsess about it going all over the place. So I'm trying not to think about everything that we've got going on until it's actually done. And Bill, I am enjoying the ride. That's why I don't want to think about it too much.
Good point.
Ben, just to kind of wrap up with you, you're a new daddy.
Oh, yes, I am.
Congratulations. Yes.
Oh, thank you very much. It's and this is how I got back into pursuing my dream, is because when she was born, it lit up a fire within me. It's like, man, I don't want her to see that I never pursued my goals. You know, I want her to know that, hey, at least I tried. So I just got back into the mix of things, and just amazing doors are just opening up, and opportunities are coming my way, and I'm just really blessed.
Wow.
So, and she started walking yesterday.
Wow.
Congratulations, Ben.
Thank you.
Now, let me really focus on that. First of all, you know, that I'm a comedian part-time. And one of the jokes is always, you know, when you get married, your life is over. And then the second level up from there is when you have a baby and are married, your life is definitely over. You don't sleep. You know, you spend money on diapers, and all your dreams and all your stuff is theirs, you know. But it's interesting that you would say, as you had your baby, that really kind of kindled something within you.
Oh, yes, it did.
That's really incredible that this project and these projects that you're working on are really kind of a testament to your little one. To say, you know what, you can do whatever you want to do, and I think that's fantastic, Ben. I got to tell you.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate that. It's a blessing. She's just a really lit up my fire in me, and I, every time I see her, it's just like a wake-up call. It's like, I have to do this just for her and for my wife. My wife and there were, I think, I forgot who it was, he was talking to you about how his wife is so supportive to him, and I can relate to that because she never lets me give up. She's just always on top, say, you're so talented, you have to go out there. And I dedicate everything to them, my wife and my daughter.
That's awesome.
Okay. I don't want to get misty on you. thestairwaystudio.com. Now, that
yes.
is your 2D animation?
Yes, I have a small design firm, and it's really kicking off. Unfortunately, I haven't been able to update my website, so please excuse it. But, no, it's a small studio, and I'm trying to venture into getting productions in there, film productions. And it's Tampa is very it's like a sleeping giant the way I call it because there's so many talented people, filmmaker, artists, but we're really not I don't know how to say it, it's like we're underdogs, you know. So I'm like I'm hoping we can change that with great films and you know just to expose our talents and to let people know that hey you know we're not only Super Bowl champions but we're great filmmakers.
Well, Ben, hey, I'm going to put you on mute if you don't mind. If you,
I don't mind. Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
No problem.
Bye,
no problem.
Bye-bye.
You rock, Ben, okay? Wow. All right. Now I want to talk to my good friend Gigi. How are you, Gigi? Is Gigi there?
Yes, hello. How are you? Hi.
I'm doing fine.
Hi,
I'm doing fine.
Hi, Gigi.
Hi.
Now, you do a little writing and something. That, what are your talents, Gigi?
Well, I'm a freelance writer. I'm an author of my first book, and I'm also working on a script.
Wow. Now, let's see. Some of us are younger, and if you don't mind, where are you in the age scale, ma'am?
I'm in my 50s. I won't go any further.
All right, that's fine. I just want to point out that dreams never go away.
No, they do not.
And I just want to you know give you props. Now you keep going. That's important. What you're doing, okay?
Thank you very much,
Jeff. Might you ask Gigi about the title of her book?
Yes.
What is the title of your book?
Well, it's a horror book, and it's called Dolores.
Okay.
Yes.
All right.
It's about an evil witch.
Okay.
And it's a very, very good book, I believe. It's been selling quite well. And I look forward to making a movie out of it one day.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it definitely sounds like that it's definitely in the ballpark if you hang around with these folks here.
Well, I plan to hang around because this is a good thing that Chuck and Brent have come up with. And we have a lot of talent here in the South, so it's exposure. Exposure, because I think it's an asset to the film industry.
Mm-hmm. Well, you got a fan in me. I'm going to pick up your book, and I'm going to wait for your movie. Okay, Gigi?
I appreciate it.
Okay, you hang in there now. All right.
Okay.
Okay, now, let me see. Chuck and Bren, let me see. Do you reckon John Josh? Is that...
That's Josh Johnson. Yeah, you definitely want to talk to him.
All right. Hello, Josh. How are you, sir? We'll just give him a second. Sometimes they get shy. Josh, are you there, sir?
Yeah.
Hello?
Hello.
Well, maybe he's...
Okay, we'll leave him unmuted. Okay, Josh, if you have something to say, you can go ahead and say it. We'll let you. It's not a problem at all. Now, let's see. Suzanne. Ring a bell with anybody?
Hello.
Hi, Suzanne. This is Jeff. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing fine. And what do you do, and how are you connected to this group, and what is your story?
Well, actually, I have been modeling on and off for 20 years and have been doing some acting. And Chuck got in touch with me, I guess, back in April via an email. And I'm not sure, Chuck, how you found me. I'm guessing Model Mayhem, but I'm not sure. And anyway, he had this great idea for Southeast Film Club and asked me if I wanted to join, you know, somewhat of a talent group. And I said, sure. So I think I was one of his first, well, at least one of his first featured members. Mm-hmm. And so I sent a bio in and just got started with Chuck from there and started getting involved with the Six Degrees Desperation and got my talent agency, the Brock Agency, out of Raleigh to be a sponsor, or to be a link, rather, onto the film club. And so I'm looking forward to involved and being part of the Six Degrees of Desperation and actually acting in the Columbia team part of it.
Mm-hmm. Oh, great.
Yep. Yeah.
Just to so you know, Susie was actually she was the second person that I featured on the website. So she's been around since we started. So.
Wow.
Wow, well, that's good to know. The second person. I didn't realize I was right up there near the top. Okay, who was the first?
A young lady by the name of Christy Joy Slavis.
Okay.
She was actually she was a model, and I think she. It's funny because when I first started, I can imagine how it looked. You know, hey, we want to feature her on the website. Well, who are you?
Well, I was all for it. I thought this is great. Any type of exposure is, you know, with anything with film club in it is good exposure.
Yeah.
So I was really excited about it from the beginning, as well as Chuck. And then I got my boyfriend Adrian involved, and he is writing part of the script for the Columbia team, which is where we are. We're in Columbia, South Carolina. And so he has written part of the script for the suspense part of the second team in Columbia. So, again, we're looking forward to that coming to fruition.
Awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, and that's another thing, too, is anytime I hear that someone may be working right now, I mean, granted, Six Degrees is a copy credit type of thing, but it's still exposure. I mean, who's to say that this is going to blow up and be something huge? And, you know, Suzanne's a part of it, and you know, it's all about networking. And so I'm very excited anytime I hear someone is actually getting work or being involved in projects because of CIFA. It's just exciting to me. It makes me feel like, who knows? I mean, maybe they might have had work somewhere else, but you know, it just excites me that. That because of CIFA, people are actually getting to do the things they love to do. So,
absolutely. And Chuck, I want to add that I am in total amazement that this group has gotten so large, so big in just a short amount of time. I mean, I think back in April you got in touch with me, March or April, and here it is July, and you have 800 members. It's like, you know, it's just grown leaps and bounds just in a short amount of time. And I'm just totally amazed with it and so happy for you.
Well, just bear with us with our growing pains. I'm still trying to figure out how to get through 700 emails a day, but I'll get to them eventually.
Yeah. And I'm still wanting to order one of those T-shirts. I've got to order one of those pictures on the back of the new T-shirt you have out.
Oh, yeah. Just so you know, I mean, I know that. Thank you very much for plugging the T-shirt, Suzanne. I appreciate that.
Yeah. order a T-shirt, please.
So basically, what I did is I'm always thinking of ways to give people exposure, and so I created a T-shirt idea that basically is almost like a walking billboard. I mean, you send me your logo and you send me your idea, and I'll stick it on the back of a T-shirt with, you know, other members of CIFA. And, you know, if you want the shirt, buy it. If you don't, you don't have to. But it's basically, you know, it's basically a logo T-shirt for anyone who wants to put one on there. But anyways, I wasn't even going to plan on talking about the T-shirts. Thank you, Susie.
Yeah.
The funniest email.
I ever got from Chuck. The funniest email I ever got from Chuck, I swear, I read it and I fell out of my chair laughing on the floor. We were talking about how are we going to fund this film because it is coming out of our pockets. We are getting some contributions. And Chuck was like, hey, let's sell T-shirts because that's what everybody does for every fundraiser. So he comes up with this great T-shirt and we just sit back and wait and see if anybody bites. And somebody buys a T-shirt. Chuck emails me and goes, someone bought a T-shirt. Our budget is officially $3.50. Woo! Is that all the T-shirt?
See, I never knew exactly how much it was. Or, well, Chuck, you'll just have to tell us all right now exactly how to order a T-shirt. And, we'll go for it.
Basically, just go to the website and go to the store. If you buy one, make sure you send me an email and let me know because it gets you a credit in the credit of the film because the profit on those T-shirts are $3.50, and it goes directly towards the budget. But,
yeah.
But I feel bad because Jeff is sitting over here just listening to us talk about selling T-shirts. So.
No.
Okay, I've talked a lot, so... I've enjoyed talking to you guys, and thank you so much for having me on. And I'll just pass on to the next person.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
I want to thank you for being on the show and for participating, Suzanne, okay?
I appreciate it. Thank you.
Thanks.
All right, now let's see. Let me quickly – okay, Josh, are you there? I'm calling to the netherworld. Josh, are you there? Okay, I'm going to leave you. If somebody wants
Hello?
To email.
Hello?
Yes, sir. How are,
hey,
yes, sir.
This is Josh.
Hey, Josh, how are you?
Hey, pretty good. Sorry, I thought I was muted, and it was my phone was actually muted. So.
All right, so let's see. You are Joshua Dees?
No, I'm Josh Johnson.
Josh Johnson, okay.
That's me.
So tell me about what you do and what your association is with CIFA. Tell us a little bit of your story.
Oh, wow, my story. My day job, you know, I'm like a lot of people and I have a day job too, and I actually work as a software developer. And I spend all my, you know, my free time making movies and doing stuff, basically like that.
Okay.
Recently, kind of around here, I've got a couple productions, and I'm in Raleigh. I'm sorry, I'm based out of Raleigh, North Carolina. Sorry, I'm outside and wind's blowing here. Anyways, I started up about a year ago. I started up Carolina Flicks, which is kind of a networking tool, and you know, here in North and South Carolina. And through that, I think I surfed by SC Film Club, and you know, instead of taking the instinct that we were going to be competitors, I sent them an email, and now I'm actually helping them work on the site. Like, I help them post featured members and stuff, and, you know, just, it's, you know, it's a great networking tool.
Yeah, we appreciate that help, man.
Yeah.
Awesome. Josh is a big help to me. He really is. I mean, I just don't have enough time in the day to give the kind of service that I want, because, again, I'm OCD, so if I get an email, I want to answer it. And I don't like things sitting in my email box that need to be done. So I had to enlist a little bit of help to try to help me get some of this stuff done. And Josh has done a great job of helping me get that stuff up. So thanks, Josh. I appreciate it.
Oh, not a problem, man. I enjoy doing it too. And I'm the same way. I'm OCD, and anytime I have that I'm not doing something, I try to find something to fill it with. That's why I'm doing like 6 projects right now.
Yeah.
One more time, Josh, your site is Carolina Flicks. Can you Carolina, and it's F-L-I-X or?
F-L-I-C-K-S.com.
Okay, gotcha. Carolina Flicks, F-L-I-C-K-S.com.
That's right. And, you know, it's basically a blog where I write about news and, you know, casting stuff around here, which I probably should be sending more of that on to Chuck and them because that's part of what they want to do. So anyways,
if you don't mind, Josh, let me say something about that real quick.
Right.
I think personally, and maybe this is my grandiose, you know, ego thing or whatever, but I personally think that CIFA is more than just our website. It's everybody that's involved with it. That's why I kind of have the branding thing on there that says I'm a Southie. Because
right.
if you're a member, you're a part of CIFA. So Carolina Flicks, your website, Upstate Video, you know, all the websites that we link to, they're all a member of the Southeast Film Association. So I don't see it as just being that website that I put up there. I mean, your website's just as much a part of us as anything else is. So, you know,
right.
we link to you and you link back to us, and whatever you post on your website, I mean, I see it as being a part of us. So don't feel like you need to send us stuff, because it's fine the way you're doing it.
Oh, well, you know, that's what I really like about it. It is the association, and it's the, you know, it's like networking tool. I'm sure that word's been used about a million times. but
network, yeah. network.
And then, I mean, the other thing, too, is, I mean, personally, I mean, it brings me, you know, more, like, because I'm working on the sci-fi portion for Six Degrees myself. So it gives me more stuff to fill my free time with, you know.
Cool. We can't wait to see that. It's going to be awesome.
Yeah, me too.
Well, thanks, Josh. I appreciate you dialing into the show. And it's really cool that folks can dial in to this show out on the street. You know, it's pretty cool that you can connect a lot of different ways. So thanks for being a part of this show, Josh, okay?
Yep, thanks.
Okay, you'll still be on the show, okay?
Yep.
All right, let me see. Okay, all right. All right, Mr. Thomas Ward, how are you, sir? We'll wait. I think he's...
I'm right here.
Yes, sir.
Hello there, Roni.
Hey.
I'm already jacked up on Mountain Dew, so don't get me started.
I'm hitting for the fences, baby.
This guy's a rascal, okay? First of all, he always talks to me like we're in the service or something. Now, you know my first name is Jeff, right?
Yeah.
Okay, dude. Just wondered.
I just like calling you Boney. Boney Roney.
Thank God for this guy. Listen, okay, now...
Don't blame me for this, Jeff.
And right now even the devil's going, I'm not responsible.
You know, I will mute you. I will mute you in 2 seconds so I can say something nice. Now, hold on just a minute. All right. Thomas Ward is a fantastic voice actor. He is incredible.
You're just saying that.
When you say a man of 1,000 voices, this guy is 2,000 voices. So I was so happy to introduce you to the CIFA group. I think, you know, any great talent I can send you guys' way, I'm going to do it. And
awesome.
Thomas is really building up, you know, this group of great voice actors. I mean, he has folks that are good friends of him that you start listening to the names, you go, wait a minute, isn't he in so-and-so? Isn't she in this movie? And it's really incredible. So, you know, Thomas, I mean, what did you think that you could kind of find a pocket of really talented folks in the Southeast U.S.? I mean, what did you think?
Oh, man, when I first heard it, I was like, yes, there is a heaven. And no Ben Affleck. Yes. I know right now Roni's going, oh, God, he started on him again.
Well, okay, there's a story there. But anyway, we don't have time to tell that story now. Okay. So, all right. So
That's what his agent says.
Yeah.
There's a long story there, but I'm not going to tell it.
Now, okay, so because you're in the Southeast area, right, sir?
Uh-huh.
Okay.
I'm as back-mouth in the South as you can get. I live next to Carl from Sling Blade.
Can we just pray for his wife for just a second? Because I think she needs candles lit and I don't know what. But
yes,
anyway.
That's right. At this point, God was like, if you ask me to give you strength, then you're going to need it, sweetheart, because I'm giving you him.
All right, Thomas, we got love for you, and you're just a crazy maniac. But anyway... These
it's called Mountain Dews and Pop Rocks, man. Mountain Dew and Pop Rocks.
I know. Okay, Thomas, you rock. I'm going to mute you now. And the crowd's going to go wild.
I think he's just going to mute me so he can talk.
Before Thomas goes, I've got to hear the movie trailer voice.
Okay.
Conjure something for us. Movie trailer voice.
Coming to a theater near you.
Awesome.
You know him. You love him. You can't live without him. He is
now,
Jabroni.
Now, I could just see his wife. It's like 2 a.m. roll over and say, "If you don't shut up, I swear."
Oh, believe me, she does it all the time.
I swear.
Tommy, where's my husband? You know, and I'm sitting there and I just go, he's like, "How do you do all this?" I go, "Schizophrenia helps."
All right. I'm going to mute you out of love and respect, okay? Hang in there, my brother, and I'm glad you're here, okay?
All right.
Wow. Okay. Mr. Jeff Norris, how are you, sir? Mr. iSciFi TV, part
for
of
Jeff.
Hosting crew. Yes, sir. How are you, Mr. Jeff Norris, sir?
I am good. Incidentally, I am another Jeff.
Yes.
Thomas is a hoot. We'll hook up soon.
He wasn't in a band, though. That was Hootie. He's just a hoot. How may we help you this evening, Mr. Jeff iSciFi TV?
Oh, if only you could help with my problem. Sorry I'm late to your show. I was actually on the phone with my MC going over the next month's shows, but wanted to say this is fun. I'm not a Southeastern person, though, so does that exclude me from Tampa?
No, it does not
Absolutely
exclude
not.
You. We are not Hollywood. We do not turn our backs on people who aren't from our area.
Cool.
Yep.
And Breen eating too much chocolate is not a bad habit. In other words,
well,
I found your website, so.
I'll admit that, you know, when we first started the Southeast Film Association, we had been, you know, burned a little bit. So we were trying to focus on the Southeast. But, you know, I'm willing to admit when I'm wrong. And that was one of the things that I was wrong about, which was, you know, just focusing strictly on the Southeast. So, you know, I've annexed the entire planet. Anyone can join. And we love to have members from, you know, international community or even, you know, just across the United States. So, you're more than welcome to join. Anyone can join, and we'll do whatever we can to help.
Awesome, awesome.
Now, Mr. Norris does some voice work as well.
I do.
Well, don't you?
Okay, yes, I do some comical commercials, and
all right,
we have fun.
Okay. this isn't an opera show. You can just be honest. We're, you know. We don't have any past friends or anything. The uncle that didn't like you, okay?
I used to do a pretty good Rambo in my younger days.
Okay. All right.
Being
okay.
A baby killer and all kinds of vile crap. I can't even get a job. Sorry.
Oh, Jeff. Hang in there. Okay.
I will, man.
Check
your
all
email,
right.
too, Mr. Roney.
I will do that.
We need to talk.
All right.
Good stuff coming.
Excellent. You rock.
I appreciate your shows.
Well, thank you. You rock, and your compadres rock. And now we find some more friends at rock, too, here tonight.
I just cannot listen to the Tatooine TV with the speakers on at work.
Okay.
The home shopping network with the Jawas.
We'll fix that. All right, brother. Take care.
We'll see you.
All right. Okay, now, Mr. Chuck and Bren, let's do a little Donnie Deutsch here. First of all, that's one of my newer favorite shows. I don't know if you ever watched Big Idea with Donnie Deutsch.
Nope. Got to say no. Sorry.
You'll have to send me some information on it. Turn me on to that one.
Okay. He is an ad guy that has a show on, I think it's CNBC. And basically he has people that have made their success in business or whatever and how to deal with the word no. It is my opinion that people on the whole really kind of work on a validation model, and they have to be validated by other people. But it definitely sounds like you validate yourself because you know you have something inside that is worth doing and worth making. What would you tell people who have maybe tried to make a film and have in their mind failed? What would you tell them?
I don't want to sound too psychobabbly here or whatever that term is, but I think you determine your own version of success and failure. If you do something that you're proud of, why would you need anyone else to tell you whether or not it's good? If you like it, then you like it. I mean, this may be the most conceited thing I'm ever going to say in my life, but I love me, and if I don't love me, who will?
Are you Stuart Smalley?
Yeah, pretty much. I give myself that little pep talk in the morning. Chuck, you're a good person. You really are. No, but seriously, you have to be able to be comfortable in your own skin, because nobody else is ever going to support you the way you want them to. No one's ever going to have you 100% in front of themselves. I try to do that. Excuse me, I'm sorry. Everyone that I work with, I try to consider what their needs are, just as much as I consider mine. But really, at the end of the day, I have to be happy with me first and foremost. So, getting the word no is going to happen in anything you do. It's just a two-letter word. I mean, what's it really going to do to you? I describe myself, I'm sorry. Maybe I'm too dumb to know any better. Maybe I don't know better that whenever someone tells me no, that means you should give up. But I don't know that. When someone tells me no, it gives me drive to go out there and try to do it just to say, yeah, I can do it, whether you believe it or not. A lot of people don't have that. I understand that. A lot of people don't like to hear the word no, and that's fine. But I think everybody just kind of needs to step back and really take a focus on what's important in life. It's important to me to make my movies. It really is. But it's more important for me to make them the way I want to make them than to worry about some production company or someone else telling me that I can't do it. If you understand what I'm trying to get at, I know I'm kind of talking around, but really you just have to drive forward. You're going to hear no 150 or however many more times you are than you're going to hear the word yes. And if I may quote a Hollywood movie, I'm not going to quote it word for word, but in Jerry Maguire, his mentor says that he's failed twice as much as he succeeded. And that's absolutely a truth about life. But the thing is that if you succeed, you need to be happy with your success. You don't need to rely on someone else to tell you whether or not it was good enough, if any of that made any sense.
Well, Chuck, one of the things that you said to me that really struck a chord with me was, and I'm going to let you tell the story because we have a joke about it now, is your blue duck story. And that's totally, totally what you're about. And I love it. Tell them the blue duck story.
Okay. Well, this is not really too involved, but, and it's actually going to, I'm going to have to quote another Hollywood film. First and foremost, I'm a student of film. I mean, when I watch films, I'm working. I'm dissecting them. I'm seeing how they set up these things or whatever. So I like all kinds of films. But anyways, I was watching a Adam Sandler movie called Billy Madison. And it's a very small scene in the movie. I don't know if you know the story of that movie, but he goes back to school to, get his education so that he will be qualified to run his dad's business. Mm-hmm. And he's in art class. And the teacher kind of walks over to him and looks at what he's doing, and she kind of gives him this look like, what are you doing? And he goes, I drew the duck blue because I've never seen a blue duck, and I just kind of wanted to. And that's really why I do a lot of things I do, is because if I've never seen it done before, I want to try to do it. So draw a lot of blue ducks in your life, and you'll always be happy.
Do you think being a rebel is a lost art these days?
Actually, I think it's bordering on trendy. Look at some of the film companies that are coming out, Super Troopers, Broken Lizard, the people who shot Super Troopers, Shaun of the Dead, the people that shot that, and they just came out with Hot Fuzz, it's bordering on trendy to say, hey, you know, I'm not going to align myself with Hollywood. I'm going to do it my way, and my way is going to work. And we're finding a lot that it does work. If you look at 28 Days and not 28 Days Later, or whatever that movie was with Sandra Bullock, but the 28 Days of Zombies flick. Yeah,
right.
Don't get me started on Sandra Bullock.
Don't mix the two. You'll end up with a bunch of drunk zombies, but go ahead.
Yeah. Well, the thing is, they shot it on an XL, too, and it got theatrical release, and that's almost unheard of. Well, it was unheard of before that movie, and now they've come out with a sequel that was wildly popular, and, okay, well, that one was shot on 16, but, you know, they had a bigger budget. But 5-6 years ago, if you shot something on a GL2, an XL1, an XL2, forget it. Straight to DVD, straight to Blockbuster shelves, maybe. But now we have theatrical releases where these rebels are saying, I ain't got to shoot on film. What are you talking about? And they made this excellent, excellent zombie flick, and that's rare in the zombie genre. And it wasn't shot on film the way Hollywood wanted it. It was shot on their terms. So I think being a rebel actually is bordering on trendy, and it's helping these smaller film production companies come out with their movies and getting them seen by people who normally would only pay $12.50. Is that how much a movie is? I don't even know, to go see it.
Yeah.
Well, when what's interesting is I love film, and I got to tell you, it is almost like a tsunami of DVDs now that are just being released either from the past or from the present. And to keep up is a monumental event. But there was a couple of them with the making of that really just blew me away. When I watched Sky Captain and the World of Tomorrow, to realize that director created the test footage in his front room with the green shower curtain on his back wall, and he created the rest in a computer in his house. That's when I realized that the shift had happened. Oh, it happened before, and I totally understand that. I know that digital film and digital editing and all this kind of stuff, but when you can create something that looks so incredible just the first time out, when you can now shoot zombie movies on with an XL1 camera, when you can start to really do these films well without a Hollywood system, shooting in natural light like, you know, a Michael Mann type of a film. I mean, the playing field is very different now. I mean, it's almost like, I mean, like Chuck, you were saying, it's like kind of, you know, maybe a couple of years later, once the cute girl, you know, once all the players have kind of played out, and now you're the good-looking guy, and now the hot girl starts to call you. Hey, are you busy Friday? No. You know, now what you've been doing all this time is now hip and cool. So everyone's like, hey, we're interested in you. It's like, well, you should have been interested a long time ago.
Right.
But it's I think – to me, again, this is my small focal view. I'm here in Orange County. When I put out a casting call for a small little, you know, whatever comedy afternoon shoot, they go, how much are we going to get paid? No, it's copy and credit and maybe lunch. Oh, busy. Oh, can't do it. Oh, you know, got something else to do. What I love about you guys is the passion is there for the product, for the project. You know, everyone's going to do whatever they need to do to get it done. You know, can you schlep lights out there? Yeah, we'll do it. No problem. Whatever you need done. What is it like on a film set when you guys are shooting? What's it like?
I'd like to interrupt you for a second. Think about your answer here. Speaking of getting things done, I want to remind everybody that they're listening to
Have you heard of any of the Roni Zone productions? No? Really? Well, that's too bad. You mean you've never heard of the award-winning audio parody podcast Tatooine TV? No? Well, then you must have heard the award-winning view and interview podcast Roni Zone Radio, right? No? What about Ear Giggles podcast featuring Grandma and Johnny? No? Well, until you check them out at jrdonline.com, we don't have anything to talk about. Roni's Own Productions. We have all the great shows you've never heard of. Check them out at jrdonline.com.
The Star Wars laughs stop on August 19th, 2007. On August 19th, 2007, TAT TV Live will bring you the Tatooine TV Retrospective Show. We will look back at the award-winning parody series and see its highs and its lows, and tell a number of stories about the pre-production work, the production work, and what happened afterwards. We will have interviews of the actors, we'll have stories from the crew, and we'll have reflections by fans, all live on TalkShoe on August 19th, 2007. So make plans to be here. Grab your phone, grab your computer, maybe not at the same time, and join us on TalkShoe. That's swtalk.jrdonline.com.
Now, when a SIFA crew is filming, what's that like? Does family come into it? What's it like?
That's a good question. We have not shot a scene of our movie yet.
Okay.
We're actually going to be we're going to start filming not this weekend, but the next weekend.
Okay.
Yeah, we're actually going to rehearsals this weekend. So.
But it is kind of a family thing. I mean, really, I've got family members who are wanting to help out with the production. I've got good friends of mine who are coming on board and letting me, basically boss them around. All weekend long, just so that I can do what I need to do. Yeah, it's very family oriented. I think that family is extremely important. It's one of my main things. So, any way that I can work family into anything, I try to. I mean, my wife was with us this casting this weekend. I know Bren's husband was there. We all had friends around. So it's very family and friend oriented.
And I've been in location hunting hell trying to find a high school to shoot in. I sent out all of these emails, and it was amazing the response that I got. And we actually just landed our location today, which, whew, I can't even believe it. We're 2 weeks out from production, and we just now landed our major location. I mean, I had my dad, who's in the diaconate program in a Catholic church, go to the church and say, my daughter needs to use your parish hall for a prom scene and your field for a senior picnic. Make it happen. And that he's never been involved with my filmmaking before, but he got my email that said that I was, you guys, I'm hurting here. I need a place to shoot. And he just went right up to the priest, who's Catholic, and said, you got to make it happen. My daughter's doing something. It's big. Apparently, it's a big deal to her. We're going to make it happen. And luckily now I can call back and say, well, we don't need the parish hall because, Coosa High School came through for us. But even out on the boards at Atlanta Films on SIFA, I posted, guys, we need a school. Please make it happen for me. Get me a school. And we actually, it's kind of funny that we did like a 6 degrees networking for 6 degrees of Desperation. And on the 6th degree, I was talking to the superintendent in Rome, Georgia, or actually the assistant superintendent. I had a meeting with him the next Monday, and we nailed down the location today. And I never would have gotten it without all that networking and my family out there saying, hey, my daughter or my sister really needs a location. And I got all the way up to a superintendent who said, hey, why don't you shoot it here? And it was just amazing.
Now, the question has come up, and actually the question, I think, comes up a lot. What we know about El Mariachi, we know about guerrilla filmmaking, we know about run and gun, we know about that kind of thing. What kind of a shop do you guys run? Do you get the insurance? Do you get all the release forms?
Yeah.
You can fudge here a little bit, but let's
talk.
No,
we do. We do. We're actually meticulous about making sure that we're doing things within the realm that it's supposed to be. One of the things that we don't want to do is we don't want to go into somewhere and not give something back to the community. I'll give you an example. And first of all, let me say this. The incentives that the Southeast has passed, to attract filmmakers to this area are great. They're fantastic. I think the last time I checked, in South Carolina, you could get somewhere around 25% of your total budget just in incentives to shoot the film in South Carolina. But the challenge is that a lot of these companies come into the area and they ship everything in. They ship their cast, they ship their crew, everything. So other than just the boost that it gives to the local economy, it doesn't really do anything for the local talent. Yeah, we might get thrown in some extras every now and then, but we really don't have a chance to kind of showcase what we can really do. We don't want to do that. Whenever we go into somewhere, we're going to try to cast and crew from that area. That's part of our idea. It's part of the things that we want to do. We're not going to ship in. We're not going to ship in catering. We're not going to ship in whatever. We're going to work with the people in that area to try to get it to where they're involved. I mean, one of the things that we're doing with Six Degrees of Genre, which and by the way, I do want to just in a minute, if you don't mind, I want to just kind of tell everyone who's on the cast, you know, that we appreciate them so much. But one of the things that we're doing is in order to secure this, we're willing to give back just as much as we're getting. We've got a couple of companies who are handling the catering for us, and actually we had one company give us a bunch of T-shirts, you know, so that we could kind of look official when we were, you know, walking around with our little staff T-shirts on or whatever. But we're going to shoot commercials for them, you know, and stick it on the DVD, put some product placement in the movie, put links from Southeast Film Association, you know, to give those companies some exposure. So we're not in the business of going into some area and just taking away from it. We want to give back to any community that we're in. So, yes, we go about the legal means of doing the things we're supposed to do. It would be nice to be able to go to a location and not pay $1,200 to shoot there or whatever, but, you know, if that's what we have to do, then that's what we have to do. And if it has to come out of our pocket, then it has to come out of our pocket. You know, whatever it takes to make these movies is what we're going to do. And we're very much about giving back to our area, to the areas that we shoot in, and the local talent. So yeah, I just want to make sure it's very clear. Even though we do have a little bit of an edge to us, I mean, I'll go ahead and tell you now. You know, I think we're edgy and kind of on the brink of doing a lot of innovative things. We are in no way, shape, or form guerrilla filmmakers. I think we go out there and we actually do everything we can to make sure that everybody's taken care of. So that was very long winded. I apologize, but I want to make that clear.
Absolutely. Yeah, in fact, we just landed the location today, and today I just bought the insurance for our location. They required, you know, X amount of coverage for everything, and then I ended up insuring the entire shoot. You know, I bought enough insurance so that Chuck would be safe traveling. He's actually going to travel from Columbia to Atlanta and then up to Rome to shoot this film with us. And so I just want to make sure that everybody's covered and that we're really, really good to our people.
Yeah. Just 2 seconds. Ara has a question, and then we'll move on. Ara, go ahead. Sometimes it takes just a little bit of time. Ara, go ahead. You're on.
Ara?
She's shy.
Oh, don't be shy. We don't bite, I promise.
Okay.
Hey, Jeff, while we're waiting for Ara, because I think she's chatting with Sweetie, I had a question there. You were talking about getting insurance and film locations. As far as most of the folks here or whatever, how many of you all are in SAG or AFTRA, and how many of you, are non-union?
I am non-union. I believe Chuck is non-union. That's another one of those Hollywood things. I actually know a lot of people that do a lot of work and they get nothing from SAG. They get out of SAG. They're tired of it. Not to be down on the unions. It's good. Three Stooges, they got screwed, and we all learned a lesson from the Three Stooges. I'm serious. I mean, they were living out of garbage cans, and they were some of the most famous people in the world for their work. And they were not being paid by their studios. And so, you know, we got to love the union for backing us up, but it's so hard to survive as an actor with SAG. You have to work X number of hours per year on so many projects that are SAG projects. How many SAG projects filmed in Georgia, in Columbia? Not many, to get health insurance. So you have all these actors living out of their cars so that they can get health insurance. And so what is SAG really doing for the people in the Southeast? So I would say that most of us, and correct me if I'm wrong, anybody listening, we're mostly non-union, working on independent flicks and the occasional budgeted film that comes from Hollywood that will pay you day rate even if you're not SAG. But for the most part, we all have part-time or full-time jobs as computer programmers. I'm a legal secretary. And, you know, SAG maybe in 10 years when you have a better program, but right now you're not helping us out.
Do you ever have issues getting people to work with you who are in the union?
Well, let me say this. I think a lot of this is about managing someone's perception. If we say up front, listen, it's a non-union shoot. You can do it or you can't. I mean, like I said, it's all about whether or not what you're willing to do in order to be involved in filmmaking. So we don't push anybody. We don't say, hey, don't join this or whatever. But, you know, we just who we are. We are who we are, and hopefully you want to be a part of that. And I want to. I'm sorry, I addressed your question, but I want to address the other question too. I think a lot of times in today's Hollywood, there's a lot of red tape that gets in the way of making films. It gets in the way of people finding jobs. It gets in the way of people being able to act. Okay, so I don't believe in creating red tape for anyone that I want to work with. So I don't require them to do whatever, you know, join a union or do this or whatever in order to work. You know, I just don't believe in it. So I try to make the process of making films as simple as it can be.
Wow, those are great and well-considered answers. Thank you both very much.
Zara there?
Hara, are you there? Maybe try a Morse code, typing in the question. Want to hear you. I know I'm old and I listen to music really loud in the car, but I don't think it's really that bad.
Make sure your phone's not muted, Hara.
Well, we're... no,
she's using it. Coming through? Oh, yay! Sorry for the excitement.
The dog bumped into it.
Okay. I had a couple of questions. You said that you like to have all your bases covered with, like, insurance and releases and everything. And I'm curious if when you started out you had all of that together or if some of those things you let slide so that you could get started and get going with filmmaking rather than letting it hold you back.
Go ahead, Brent.
I've been on a few projects before this one, and in the beginning I was a guerrilla filmmaker. I didn't have releases. I didn't know that I had to have it. In fact, this will be the first project that I have headed up that has full coverage insurance for all of the shoot locations and the actors and things like that. If you're asking, should you have all of those things? Yes, ethically, I think that you should have all those things to shoot. Should you let those things hold you back?
No.
I'm not your mama. You should just go ahead and go and film what you can, when you can. Make sure, try to do it legally, but also cover yourself. Releases are not to cover other people necessarily, but to make sure that things don't come back on you. Our releases include things like, it has the actual phrasing, the signer acknowledges that they will do their best to be safe and prudent at all times and not cause harm to themselves or others or CIFA's equipment. And that means, hey, you know, if you're acting the fool and you're running around and you trip our gaffer, you know, falls into a light and light hits our lead actor, you are responsible. So you want to make sure that you word things correctly in the releases, but don't let it hold you back. If an actor really wants to work with you and they're like, hey, you know, this release, it's worded funny, I don't understand, reword it for them, make it work. And definitely with insurance is expensive. And that is one thing that can definitely hold you back. But something that you can do to avoid it is shoot with people that know you, people that don't require that you have a $1 million rider. Go to your mom and dad. Hey, I need to use a house. Mom and dad are going to let you use their house. So definitely network and get around it as much as you can. But, I mean, for our location, we didn't know anybody who owned a school. That's crazy. Nobody owns a school. It's run by the board, Board of Education. So we had to get insurance on this. Had we not had a school involved, you know, we would have had to get insurance for a church, you know, use my dad's church. So there's just no way for us to get around it. But for smaller independent companies, there are definitely ways to get around it. And you should cut corners as much as you can so that you have a great end product.
But you also have to remember that we're all creative people. So if you write a screenplay that requires, you know, certain you know in advance when you're writing a screenplay what it's going to require. We knew when this screenplay was being written that we were going to need a school. And we knew that when that happens, we have to have insurance. We have to have these other things involved. So it's not just about filming once the screenplay is already written. It's also considering these things when you're writing it. Considering, you know, that should I write this scene in a restaurant? I may not have access to one, you know? So you have to understand what your limitations are, too. Get creative. Draw some lockers on the wall if you have to. Do whatever you got to do to make your movie.
Yeah, Chuck and I also, we had a backup plan. There's actually two scripts floating around out there. When I felt like we may not get a school, and that was not long ago, it was about a week and a half ago, I called up Chuck and I said, you know what, we're shooting a script. I'm taking all of the scenes out of school. I'm staging it at a senior picnic, and we will shoot outdoors. We'll go to a park. You know, we'll get permission from the park rangers, whatever. So I actually rewrote the script so that everything took place outside the school, and we only inferred that all of these kids went to school together. And the only time you saw them all together was at the prom, which you can rent an event hall for. And then when I felt like, well, we're not going to get permission from the city to get shoot in a park, I actually started to write a third version where we went to a senior banquet so we could rent an event hall for that too. So just realize when you're writing what you're kicking up for yourself and what you're in store for, and make sure you have these locations lined up and these actors lined up. You don't want to write in a role for, you know, I don't want to give him glory. Let me change the name there for Nathan Lane. If you don't have any connection to him,
mm-hmm.
find Nathan Lane lookalike. So there are ways around it, definitely.
Can I ask another question?
Yeah.
I was wondering if you might... if you might elaborate on the whole process of getting insurance. I think for creative people, that side of it is something that's scary and vague, and they just don't want to deal with that.
It is scary and vague, and honestly, I didn't know what I was doing 3 days ago when I started looking for insurance. So I went to the posting boards, the ones that I've mentioned before. I asked some people at CIFA. Nobody really had a referral for me, so I went to AtlantaFilms.com, and I just posted under the locations thread, I need event insurance. What am I going to do? Now, I had bought event insurance from State Farm when I had a policy with them. Come to find out, after my shoot took place, my adjuster called up and said, you know, we made a mistake. We don't write insurance for film productions. Now, since you purchased it, you would have been covered, but in the future, you can't come to us. So I didn't want to make that mistake again. So I went out and I networked with other filmmakers, and I asked the producers, hey, where can I go for event insurance? And they gave me a whole lot of links. There's a local place down here that actually writes event insurance specifically for film, and I actually ended up using Film Emporium up in New York that lets you apply for it online, and they call you back and ask you questions about your application, and they process it. I started working with Film Emporium, I think, at like 11 o'clock this morning, and I purchased it today. So they were quick. I mean, they knew what was going on. They knew the deal. They knew the score. It was amazing. I've never purchased insurance that fast. Of course, now that they have e-insurance, it's probably, you know, the norm. So when you're looking for insurance, ask other producers in the area, who have you used? Did you like them? Was it affordable? I asked those three questions. I got 5 referrals. The second referral that I called, which was Film Emporium, I actually used them. So that's really all you have to do is just use that 6 degrees, baby. Start networking. Ask other people what they've done and learn from their mistakes.
That's one of the things, too, that's very key about anything you do, whether it's filmmaking or any other industry, is don't be afraid to ask questions. Don't be afraid to network with people, because that's how you find things out. The person that can help you is 9 times out of 10 not the person you're talking to. It's the person who knows the person who knows the other person who saw Ferris pass out at 31 Flavors last night. Those are the people that can help you. So you have to network, and that's what CIFA is all about. It's helping people network. So.
Did that answer your question?
It does. I was also wondering just a very specific question. Do they, the company in particular, because I know other companies might work the same way, did they charge you based on a percentage of your budget, or did they charge you based on how many scenes, the duration of the shoot, or?
The way we did it, well, they do all three, to answer your question. What you do, the way they have it broken down is if your film budget is under $300,000, click here. So, of course, what do I do? Click.
Gotcha.
They also have if your budget is over $300,000 to $500,000, $500,000 to $1 million, or whatever their number brackets are. And then they ask you, the only questions I was asked was, oddly enough, is your film soft or hardcore porn? Yeah, I guess they count condoms. I have no idea. And they asked, do you do stunts, pyrotechnics, and what's the genre of your film? And I answered all of those questions. Luckily, we have no stunts in ours, so I think that really kept the cost down for us. We don't use any pyrotechnics, no squibs, nothing like that. And then all they asked was duration and location. I didn't even give them an address. I just said Rome, Georgia. I said Rome and Atlanta. So they based ours off of location and duration. So I bought 3 weeks worth of insurance because I was under $300,000. Now, if you go above $300,000, I can't tell you if they're going to use a percentage of your budget, but you're going to still encounter those questions. Is it porn? Are you using stunts? Are you using pyrotechnics? So those are the three major things they seem to look at, but you can definitely check it out at Film Emporium in New York, and they're online.
Okay.
Thank you.
Yeah, no problem.
Now, Gigi, I promised her. Are you there, Gigi?
Hello.
Yes.
Hi, I
have three questions. Go ahead.
Yeah, I have a three-part question I would like to ask either Chuck or Brent.
Okay.
What makes a bad script? And can you...
Are you asking me?
But I'll ask you, what makes a bad script?
Okay, what makes a bad script? To me, it's when you write most scripts are based around a main character. If not a concept, it's based around a main character. A bad script, to me, is one where the main character doesn't learn anything in the end. Because why are you following them on this journey if they are the exact same person in the beginning as they are at the end? You've just wasted 2 hours of your time and probably $12.50 at the cinema. You've learned nothing from this movie. You've taken nothing away. Films that focus on a character that they learn something on a journey, that's what really inspires people to keep going back to the movie theater. When you see a trailer about somebody who's, battling cancer and they're an a-hole, and then at the end they win over cancer and, they're a wonderful person. You want to see the journey that they took to get to those 2 points in their lives, cancer-free, and now they're a good person. If you show me a character who starts out with cancer and he's an a-hole and he dies of cancer and he's still an a-hole, I want to hunt you down and kill you.
Yeah. Well, could you tell from the pitch?
Sorry?
Can you tell from the pitch?
Let me, can I answer a little bit too first?
Oh, yeah, please chime in.
I personally think a screenplay is really only bad if the person writing it doesn't have any involvement in what they're writing, if you understand what I'm saying. They're writing it strictly just to try to shock you or just to try to make money from it or whatever. They have no involvement, no investment in what they're doing. And I know that's very... ideological or whatever to say a screenplay has to mean something, but I personally can't write something unless I have some type of attachment to it whatsoever. And I think that a lot of people out there just write to put something on the page. And if that's all you're doing, you're really not bettering the art, in my opinion. So.
Okay, well, what about making a bad script better? How would you go about doing that?
That's a good question. Chuck and I wrote a screenplay together called Local Charity, and when it started out, I had it maybe 80% completed, and I asked Chuck, please, God help me, I can't end this freaking script. And when it was done, I think the page count was 220 pages, which everybody in the business knows, too long. part of what makes a bad script good is networking other people in to read it, employ other people, that have a live reading, get actors up, get them working the script. And you will be able to tell when they're uncomfortable or when they're bored or when they don't understand what they're saying. And if your average actor or writer, fellow writer, doesn't understand what's going on, you got to make some changes. One thing that Chuck and I had to let go of in Local Charity were all these extraneous characters that we just thought were so adorable. But they were taking up sheer page count. And somebody came to us and said, you know, we love these guys, Kurt, Doug, and whoever, but who are they? You know, they appear twice and they're gone. What's their purpose in the script? You've got to realize when to let somebody go. Find the core of your story and stick to it. Don't go off on tangents trying to create 500 subplots to get all of your points across at once. Focus on one point and really, really drive it home. And to add to that, I've got to say, and this is my personal opinion, not everybody shares it with me, but the best scripts are ones that don't hold the audience's hands and lead them to water and force them to drink. You've got to let the audience make a decision for themselves as to whether or not they're going to get involved in this film emotionally or not. If you're cramming it down their throat, so, you know, you make an analogy, you refer to the analogy again, you explain it later, then you play it out on screen. No, that's not what a film is for. It's not what a screenplay is for. It's to let audience members draw some conclusions for themselves. When you have to explain everything, you know, down to the definition of a word that you're trying to portray in one of your lines, you're insulting the audience and you're going to lose them. They want to be able to think for themselves.
As a side note, that comment that Bryn just made was for me, because I tend to do that. I have a hard time sometimes. I write things and then I want to explain why I'm writing it or whatever. That's one of the things that Bryn helps me out with a lot. So, you know, believe her when she says some of the things that she says, because she's a very talented writer and I take her opinion quite a bit. So.
Thank you. I wasn't saying that for you. I know
yes,
you've heard that before. No, I was saying it for everybody. I was saying it for Jeff, actually. Jeff, stop leading me to water, man.
Okay, well, I have a couple more questions.
Okay, go ahead.
Okay, what makes a great actor? And also, do you need acting classes?
Go ahead, Chuck.
Well,
I need them.
I think a great actor is one that can connect with pretty much any source material and make you believe that they actually are feeling what they're saying. It's just like with, you know, musicians and stuff. You can hear the same two people sing the same song and only one of them you're going to connect with. I think great actors have an ability to do that. It's part of the reasons why, you know, we're so lucky with the folks that we cast for Six Degrees. I mean, I really wasn't expecting as many talented people to show up as they did. The hardest part about it was actually telling some people they weren't cast because they were so good. But I think that's one of the that's one of the things that makes a great actor, is being able to connect with the source material and connect the audience to it. As far as needing acting classes, I don't necessarily agree. I don't think that you do. I think that as long as you can kind of grasp what it is that you're trying to get across, it's great. I'm not knocking them. I think acting classes can help a good actor get better, but if you don't have it, you don't have it. That's all there is, but that's how I feel about it, at least. I mean, I see actors all the time in movies that I go, he just doesn't have it, you know, and they still try, and that's great. Congratulations for working, but I don't think any acting class is going to make a bad actor a better actor. I think you can fine-tune good actors.
Okay, well, is there such a thing as natural talent?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yes. And I think there's more natural talent out there than there are learned actors. I'm going to go off on a whole Johnny Depp thing here. I'll try to keep it short. He obviously has a lot of raw talent, but he also is a trained actor. And you actually see him grow on screen. If you follow his movies, you see some things that he did earlier, some choices
like Crybaby
that he made. Okay, thank you. I wasn't actually going to point it out, but Chuck did it for me. And you're watching that movie and you're thinking, oh my God, this guy is pretty, but what in the world was he thinking when he read the script and said yes? But everybody has to start somewhere. He said one of the best things he ever did was read a book. And that is not formal training. That's just self-information. You go out and you seek it out. And the best book he read, he said, was called No Acting, Please. And it was a book that directed you not to act. It said reach inside yourself, find the character within yourself. Because if you are not present in the character, nobody's going to buy into it. And so you have to be present within the character in order to make it work for everyone else. It's kind of like, you know, looking at somebody sleeping and looking at a corpse. You can tell who's alive and who's dead. If the soul isn't there, you're not going to believe that that corpse is sleeping. You believe that corpse is dead.
Okay.
And also,
well,
I just want to add one more thing. I'm going to add one more thing to that because I'm an actress and I'm big on this. Another thing that makes a good actor or actress is somebody who can make a choice and commit to it early on. And what I mean by that is when I saw people cold reading at 6 degrees of genre, now Chuck's got me saying it, 6 degrees of desperation auditions, you could tell that people who were so focused on the words, they didn't want to deviate from the script at all, which is good because writers, they want to see the words that they wrote come out of an actor. But you also saw people that when they looked at the script, they made a choice for the character. They committed to it. They didn't stray. And I got to say, Laura Gilreath, who landed one of the lead roles as Sally, she made a choice to be a good person. She said to herself at some point, Sally is a good person. And she stuck with it. And that's what landed her the role. The other girl that auditioned for it, she's beautiful. She was great. She was talented. We hated to cut her. She was so good. But she didn't make that choice. She chose to try to play the Sally that we wrote. Laura chose to be a good Sally Johnson. And she made that choice. She committed to it. And by the end of her improv, which I believe was her third callback of that weekend, when we put her on the screen and said, you know, just tell us a little bit about yourself, Sally. And I just saw something click inside her. And she said, I'm going to ride this good girl character to the very end, and she did. And after that audition, we had no question at all. We looked at Laura and we said, you are Sally. It was amazing.
So she really had natural talent.
Yeah, as
and
a matter of fact,
has
if you,
natural talent.
If you mm-hmm. actually want to see her audition, it's on the production diary. I'm actually putting all of the actors' auditions up on the production diary. And I know I haven't heard Jeff's voice in, what, 20 minutes? Have we just run away with the show?
I'm sorry.
Yeah. That's perfectly fine. have you got all the questions answered that you had, Gigi?
Well, I have two more, and then I've got to go to work.
Okay. Let's go.
Well, actually, three. Is that okay?
Let's do them rapid fire.
Okay, real fast. How do you feel about the effects of YouTube as far as being an entertainment source? And the second question is, do you believe that reality TV is some form of entertainment, like on TV shows? Or
I think YouTube is a great tool when it's used properly. I mean, if you put something on YouTube to entertain, that's great. But if you just put someone, you know, bashing their head into a toilet or beating the crap out of each other for 20 minutes or 10 minutes or however long your limit is, I don't consider that entertainment. I consider that morbid curiosity. And so I think it really depends a lot on your particular what it is that you're going there for. So I think that's a yes and no answer.
Okay. Well, what do you need from the listeners, Chuck and Brenda? Being a member of CIFA, CIFA is an exciting thing for me. How can I go about helping others to get a hold of you?
Just spread the word. I mean, just have people join up. Tell them that be a featured member. That's very important. They can go to the website, and there's a place on there for them to click. I think it says, do you want to be featured? Click on that, shoot me their information, and we'll get it up for them. I mean, we really just need as much exposure as possible right now. So, you know, I don't care who you tell. Tell your grandma, your aunt, uncle, if they're interested in this industry at all, you know, tell them about us, and we'll do what we can to help them.
Okay.
Yeah, direct them to the website. We're there 24/7.
Yeah.
Okay, will do.
Thank you,
Jeff, if you don't mind, real quick, I just want to say something. We've been talking a little bit about our cast,
And I really think that we walked into this weekend not knowing exactly what we were going to end up with, but we really truly ended up with some very talented actors and actresses. And as Bryn said, it really was difficult. Sometimes it's hard to find a good actor, but this time it was more along the lines of we had two or three people that could easily play the role. But if you don't mind, I just want to shout a couple of them out real quick. I'm going to start with Jennifer Ashley. Jennifer is playing the role of Jennifer, and she is actually one of the ones who walked in and owned the role from the moment she stepped on stage. I mean, when she stepped up there, we were like, yeah, that's Jennifer. I mean, we put her through the ringer and made her, you know, come to callbacks and all kinds of things. And really, we were waiting for someone to try to knock her out of the position. But I think from the get-go, she pretty much had it. Bryn's already mentioned Laura Gilreath. Laura came in and did an amazing job. Jason Von Stein is going to be fantastic as Greg. Shane McKelvey is going to be good as Justin. Tanisha Bennett's going to be great as Justine. You got to look for that little plot twist. Allie Birchfield is absolutely a minister's daughter. The funny thing is we auditioned her and told her to act like a minister's daughter, and she actually is a minister's daughter, so it worked out for us. And then of course, Chandler Darby, who's playing the main character in Peter Bacon. I mean, we told him, I said, thank Ferris Bueller, and the kid just nailed it. So I don't think I'm leaving anyone out. Other than, you know, we've got Ashley Evans, who's playing one of the chillers. She was one of the ones that was actually in the running for Sally at first, but I just saw her and thought, you know, that's one of our cheerleaders. And then Ann Lee did a fantastic job with a cheerleader role as well. So,
did you mention Jason Von Stein?
I did, as Greg. I mean, his audition was hilarious. You guys got to go check that out. But yeah, I just want to tell all the cast that's listening right now, thank you guys so much. We are looking forward to working with you. We think you guys are a great group of people, and hopefully being involved with this project will help you out in your career in some way.
Yeah, absolutely. We love our cast. Thank you so much. I'm looking forward to the first rehearsal on Saturday.
Okay, I'm going to have to kind of pull back the reins a little bit, and we need to kind of bring the ship into port.
Okay.
This time. First of all, this has been just an incredible show. I want to thank Chuck and Bryn for coming along and bringing the most fantastic group of folks, even the folks that didn't show up. They'll be downloading and listening to this later off the page or downloading it. And I got to say, I feel a little sad that I don't live around you guys, because even though we're so close to L.A., we're almost like we're walled out from it. And I mean that.
Jeff, you're a Southie. You might as well just go and accept it. You're a Southie. You might be in California, but you're one of us.
All right. Well, I appreciate that. You guys are really doing some fantastic things. And whatever we can do to help you, we are here for you. So the bottom line is, if you're downloading this and you want to know any more information about future shows, hopefully with SIFA, maybe, you can always come back to talk.roniezone.com. If there are any email messages that you have for us, you can send it to roniezone@gmail.com. We also have a website with other shows. It's at roniezone.com. There's really a lot of cool stuff going on with us, but I do want to open it up to Chuck and Bryn. Whenever you have anything that you want to do, I think that it would be in order to have another time of a shop talk show like this, where we kind of work through maybe the production end of a script. And if folks have questions about, you know, maybe what to do, some ideas or different things, if you're open to that, I'm open to it. If you'd like to do maybe a premiere of 6 Degrees here on TalkShoe, I'll be happy to kind of facilitate and then turn it over to you guys, whatever. I'm open to it. But we really want to back these guys and really kind of push these guys out farther, because they're really doing some fantastic things. So,
thank you so much. We appreciate that.
It's been fantastic, Jeff. Thank you so much.
No problem. The website, again, is sefilmclub.com, but I assure you it is not a club. It is an association.
Right.
These guys are really, really putting some fantastic things together. So am I leaving anything out? Your, our buddy Bill, my buddy Bill. Sir.
Well, Jeff, I'd say it should be obvious to anyone who's listened. This has been a great show with a lot of fabulous people. I'm so glad they all joined us this evening, and we got to share in a little bit of their history and their exciting prospects right now and coming up in the future. I think it's if you want to hear more, tune back in, send an email to roniezone@gmail.com. Leave us a voicemail if you could at whatever our phone number happens to be.
and that's fine. And before you leave, pretty please leave a review for Roni's Own Radio. If you're connected to your PC or Mac, that'd be great. It's on the page that you came in on. So, okay, it's late back in the SE, so we're going to let you guys go. You guys rock, okay? And I mean that. Let's keep in contact. I'm going to be getting you an URL specifically for this show so that you and all of the folks in your group can send that out in emails or put it on your site so that people can click on that and listen to this show and not have to surf through and kind of look around for it, okay?
Okay, thank you so much.
Awesome, thanks.
All righty, guys. Keep rocking. If you need anything from me, let me know, okay?
All right,
thanks a lot, man. Okay. Thanks a lot, guys. Again, this has been Roni's Own Radio. I thank you so much for listening and being a part. We will be back next week. We're going to talk about slave Leia costumes and all that kind of stuff. So we will be doing it. So I will talk to you soon.
All right, thanks.
Bye.
Bye.
Whether you've just joined us live or you've downloaded the show to listen to it later, we want to thank you for being part of the Roni's Own Radio live experience. Please visit our website at roniezone.com. There you can leave feedback and enjoy our other shows like Tatooine TV or Air Giggles. Also keep in mind, Roni's Own Productions is always working on something new, so there's always something new to learn about at roniezone.com. So until next time, this is Jeff Roni and the Roni's Own Productions crew saying see you later. Thanks for coming. Bye-bye.